Today, my message is about your future and your choice. Today, we're going to look at what God has to say about our future, yours and mine. Now, you should be interested in that because it directly affects your life and your outcome. The rest of your life is in your future, not the life that passed by or even this very second, because that second is now gone. It's lost forever. You can't get it back. We also know that life is unfair. Have you ever said that? Life is unfair. Well, who said it was fair? Did God? No, life is not fair. So remember this. You're not in heaven. You're on earth, and life is not fair on earth because it's filled with sin and sorrow, suffering and evil, and our choices that we make. We do things that aren't fair all the time. I suppose God could have made everything fair for us by just taking away our freedom of choice. The few things I can say for certain about our future is, number one, we don't know what our future holds, and number two, we can't control it. So we should definitely be interested in what God has to say about what we need to do to have a future with him, because none of us knows what's going to happen tomorrow, much less a year from now or 10 years from now. Let me share four facts the Bible says about your future. Number one, God knows everything that's going to happen. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knew what already happened would happen. He knows what is going to happen. And he knows what he's going to take when he's going to take you home. There's nothing that God doesn't know. In a practical sense, it means that God is never surprised. He doesn't say, "Wow, I didn't expect Marilyn to do that." No, God knows everything you're going to do in your life. He knows every single thought you will think, every movement you will make, and every deed you will do or not. In fact, God knows all the things that occurred yesterday, are occurring today, and will be occurring tomorrow. And that's because God is not limited by time. God is timeless. God is omnipresent. Omnipresent means God is everywhere at the same time. Your concept and my concept of time results from the fact that we are on a planet that makes a full turn every 24 hours and rotates around the sun every 365 days a year. This causes us to live in time. If you were on a different planet, you would have a different concept of what time is. And if you were on no planet, well, you would be timeless. Time wouldn't affect you, and time would have no bearing in your world. So God is timeless. He doesn't feel he needs to rush because of time constraints like we do. He doesn't hurry up and wait. God is in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future all at the same time. For us, everything in our life is based on timelines. Even though millions of things are happening in the world all at once right now, most of us can only deal with maybe three or four. God, though, handles it all at once. And because of time, we have a lifespan. We age and we'll die. Time affects all things, animals, fish, trees and plants, minerals in the ground, rocks, our land and our oceans, you name it. All these things will change over time. They will weaken over time, and they will disappear over time. Yet, God and heaven are not bound to time. And what's astonishing, really, is God offers his children, you and I, eternal life. Like, wow, a timeless life with him. Besides knowing everything, God sees everything. What happened yesterday, what's happening today, and what will happen in your future, God will see it. If you and I watched a parade go by, we would only see what's in front of us. we won't see the beginning, nor will we see the end of the parade. We won't know what's already passed. We don't know what floats might yet come. And we have no idea what lies ahead. And that's the way we pretty much live our lives. Now, if I took you up in a helicopter, we would be able to see the whole parade. We can see where the street leads to. We can see other roads and highways. We can see detours. We can see so far ahead, in fact, we can determine the best routes and where not to go because of road closures or construction. In fact, we can see the beginning, the middle, and the end of the whole parade all at once at the same time. We have a different perspective from the people watching the parade on the ground, wouldn't we? Well, God is so high, he sees it all, far beyond the aerial view I just described. He sits in heaven. God sees the beginning through to the end of your life all at the same time. He knows your history and he knows your future. God has a different perspective. He's got a wide open one, and there's nothing that is hidden from the Lord. In Hebrews 4:13, it says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." So there's no secrets from God. He sees it all. It's foolish for us to think that we can hide anything from God. God knows every good, every bad, every awesome, and every ugly part of your life, mine and yours. Yet God, he still loves us. God knows us very well. He knows all our thoughts. He knows the thoughts you're going to have, the ones you're going to have right now as I'm speaking, tomorrow and next month. Psalm 139:16, I'm sure you all know it, says, "Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began." All my days means a lifespan. God knows everything about your life before you took your first breath. He already knew every detail of every second of every minute of your life. God's plan for you didn't start when you took your first breath, though. It actually started when he thought you up. Here's the second fact. God's plan for my future is good. God is a good God. He has no bad plans for anybody's life. God doesn't think bad. God has no bad feelings toward anyone. He doesn't plan anything bad for us. If it's for our own good, the Lord might allow something to happen, but he will not and cannot be bad because the Bible tells us clearly that God is love. He cannot not love. In Timothy 4:4, we are told, "For everything God created is good. The Lord didn't create bad things, nor did he create bad people." Don't blame God when you hear bad things on the news. It's sin in our world and in ourselves that causes bad things. Romans 8:28 says, "God works for the good of those who love him." And that means God is always working on your behalf because you love him. Listen to what God has to say in Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." The dictionary defines the word plan as a detailed proposal for doing something or achieving something, or an intention or decision made in advance about what one is going to do. So God has decided on and put in place a long-range plan for your life. He has a purpose for me and each one of you. It tells us that God has thought more about your future than you have. Not only that, the Lord plans to prosper you. He plans to give you hope, and He plans to give you a future. Can we miss God's plan? You bet we can. In fact, sadly, most people do. God does allow me to choose my own path, and when I do, it's not going to be as perfect as God's. I'll make a lot of mistakes, and I will be affected by them, and I will have to live by the consequences of my own mistakes and my own decisions. You see, God's plan isn't automatic. We have to actually choose His plan. And one of the greatest gifts is the freedom that He's given us, is the freedom to choose. God could have made us like puppets, where we couldn't choose to do anything bad, where we would be only capable of doing good things. But because God made us in His image, He gave us free will. Yet God, being a gentleman, He's not going to force us to do His will. Free will is simply the ability to choose, right? Yet we often do make bad choices. We frequently follow our own plan. Every day, almost to the minute, we are making choices. I made a choice to not bail out of giving you this message today because of my fear and nervousness of being up here, standing in front of you. Believe me, I thought of it many times. I was trying to wangle ways of maybe getting Pat up here. I did it in the past, right, Pat? You have made a choice to be here and listen to my message, and I thank you for that. You chose your clothing that you're wearing today, what shoes you're going to wear, boots, it's raining. You chose whether to eat breakfast or not, and you made a choice to sing or not during worship, and you chose who you greeted today, and you chose what you said to them. Do you see what I mean? We're continually making choices because we're free to do so. And God wants us to choose to love Him. Real love isn't love unless you have the choice to not love, right? God also chose you exactly the way you are, with your nature, your attributes, your personality, your talents, and your quirks. So we should not be unhappy with ourselves, because God has created every one of us with a lot of thought and love. God has reasons why He created you with certain attributes and talents. He has reasons why He gave you certain gifts. And each of you have a place and a purpose in His kingdom. He created you the way He wanted you to be. God doesn't make mistakes. So by liking who you are, you're also honoring the Lord. God loves you, so why would you not like yourself? You are His creation in His image. I truly believe this is the number one way the enemy attacks believers today, to cause them to doubt their worth and their value to the Lord, and to discredit God's creation of mankind. I really believe that. If you look around, you'll see that everywhere. People don't have confidence in themselves, and they're not believing God. I think it's safe to say that when we don't like ourselves, we're rejecting God's creation. And when we decide to follow our own life plan, we are actually rejecting the plan that God has put together for of us. And this is often how we miss His plan and His blessings. Remember that pride is a sin. The Lord hates it, in fact. And pride goes something like this. I know I should do that. The Bible's clear. But I really want to do this. So I'm going to do this because that's what I want to do. Let me give you a few more minor examples of what I mean. The Lord says to love one another, but there's a certain person in my life that always rubs me the wrong way, so I might tend to harbor bad thoughts toward them. I know what God says in the Bible about good stewardship of money, but I'm going to buy that new toy and put off paying a few bills because I'll catch that up later. Yet God says don't owe anybody anything. He wants you to pay your debts as quickly as possible. In fact, in Romans 15:8, it's suggested not to be in debt at all. Why do you think the Lord is in debt? Because we become a slave to that debt. Jesus died for us to be free. He wants us to be free, not in bondage to bills or anything else that takes us away from Him. God tells us to quickly forgive people, not to hold grudges, but although I might know that, I might choose to be mad for months or even years at someone who's hurt me. Instead of freeing myself from the pain of this, I foster anger and resentment, and not only compromise my own health, I keep myself from growing as a Christian and seeking God's best. Here's my third point. I must choose to trust in and obey God. Every single day of my life, God has given me free choice. Am I going to do what God wants me to do? Or am I going to do what I want to do? What I feel like doing? This is one compelling reason why it's so important that we do know our Bibles. And well, because without that knowledge, we can't know what God has to say about anything and how we should live our life. If we don't know, we'll keep missing His blessings, won't we? In Deuteronomy 30:19, God says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life that you and your offspring may live. I want to emphasize that He says choose. Choose to do His will, even when you don't feel like it. Can't you hear the love and the concern that God has in His heart when He says, choose life? The Lord knows that the choices you make are affecting your future. Your choices affect even your offspring in the generations to come. Did you know that? Our God, He sees that far ahead. Isaiah 64:4 says, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. God works on behalf of Anne, Gordon, Mel, any one of us. But what does it take for God to be active on our behalf? He asks us to wait for Him. Not go headlong into something. I can't tell you how many times that I did just that. I've gotten myself over the years in my life over into situations by impulsively doing things. God promises to work on behalf of people who pray to Him and who wait for His guidance. We do live in a fast world where we're pressured to act pretty quickly, but God says the opposite. He says, wait. He says that so we don't miss His blessing. I admit I really struggle with this at times, and Andy can attest to that. Being a bit of an impatient person, just a little, most of my life, I know now that I've missed countless blessings. And when I reflect back over my life, I can honestly tell you that I probably invited curses. Yeah, all God's promises, they're firm, but they are dependent on our willingness to listen to the Lord. Isaiah goes on to say in verse 5, you come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. The key here is to do right by God. When you know what God says in His word, you know His will. That's His will. When you know what He wants, you live it. I also want to point out something else, though, to think about. I think it's so important to keep this in mind. Notice that the scripture also went on to say, but when we continue to sin against them, meaning the Lord's ways, you are angry. That really hit me hard when I read that. How about you? That tells me in no uncertain terms that God does not appreciate when we deliberately go against his word. In other words, if we realize what God said and then we go on ignoring it, we continue to sin. And that upsets the Lord. He can even get angry. Any parent, I think, can relate to that. When our kids deliberately go against our wishes, we can also feel angry or upset that they are completely ignoring us or disrespecting what we want them to do. And God can feel that way too. I don't know about you, but I don't want to tick off God. God is always transparent. He does tell us clearly how he feels about things. It's right there in your Bibles. It tells us what's wrong, the reason, and how to fix it, the remedy. So thinking long and hard about the choices we're making and praying about them, then making the changes does please the Lord. We will be doing what is right by God then. I don't really have time to read this scripture, but some of you might remember 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 12, where the Apostle Paul points out who won't inherit the kingdom. Do you remember that one? Most of it, of you are probably familiar with it. It identifies certain people like liars, thieves, adulterers, and so on. There's a whole list of people. It's so important to pay close attention to that scripture and make sure that we aren't failing God in any way by doing things that are upsetting him. A lot of us were many of these things. I know I was. But now, as God's children, we do want to live right by God when we know what we're doing is wrong. The Apostle Paul also wrote that although we might do something permissible, it might not be very helpful or profitable for us to do. Let's face it, there are lots of things we could do, and God won't say a thing about them. They aren't a sin, not exactly, but they can cause another person to stumble. And what we might do could hurt others. God is not likely to give us a divine word about every single move that we make, but when we do stay in his word, we do become wiser in what we say and in what we do. It's a learning experience. Although wisdom is one of God's gifts to every believer, we do have to make the choice to receive that wisdom. It's part of seeking God's heart on matters through his word, the Bible. Wisdom isn't just knowledge. We have to apply what we learned. And if we keep doing the things we had learned that displease God, well, we're rejecting him, aren't we? I know it takes time to understand everything the Lord says, and he knows that too. And as we learn about his principles, we begin to make those changes in our lives, and we begin to live more righteously. And righteously really just means simply living right. And our joy and our peace are dependent on living right. So when God brings something to your mind that you need to change, don't hesitate. Change it, even if you don't feel like it. Do it because you know that pleases the Lord and you're showing him you want to live his plan and not yours. And do it because your Creator absolutely knows the best plan for you. And remember, he promises to bless your efforts. Don't forget that part. Here's the fourth fact, the final fact. God will be with me every step of the way. And how do I know this? Well, one of the most repeated promises of God in the Bible is, you will never be alone. I think in one of the songs we were singing, he was talking about that too. God says, I will never leave you. He says, I will never forsake you. He says, I will never abandon you. He says, my presence will be with you. And he says it hundreds of times that he will be by your side through thick and thin. God created you to be connected to him, not off on your own and not away from his protection. Now, you might not always feel God's presence, but God is not a feeling. God is, something doesn't have to be felt to be real. Right now in this airspace that we're sharing, we have sound waves and internet waves going through us. We don't feel them, but they're real. We don't see them, but they're real. There are a lot of things that aren't real that are real that we can't see. For example, we can't see protons and electrons, but they're real. We can't see atoms, yet everything is made up of atoms, everything. We can't see air. We can't feel air. Wind, yes, but still air is all around us, and we don't feel it unless it's moving. God gave us air. Without air, we won't be alive. So it's the same of God. He's around us all the time, right now, tomorrow, next week, next month. He's always around us. So although we might not feel or sense God's presence all the time, we can be assured he is always there. Like air, we need God to live. I found that really powerful. It's a real encouragement to me that although I might not know what my future holds, I do know I'm not going to face it alone. The author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 13:5-6, "Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." I looked up this Greek word, never, in the Bible, and it means never. It means no way, Jose. It means never, never, never. It won't ever happen. 1,000 people might abandon you, but God will not. Your family might ignore you, but God will not. Other people might discriminate against you, but God will not. And some people might not like you, but God will always love you. People might come and go in your life, but God will always be there with you. God says he will never leave you. So as the scriptures promises, we can say with confidence in the second part of that scripture, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can people do to me?" This is the faithfulness of God. God's not only a good God, he's a faithful God. He keeps his word, and he does what is good for you. He can't not love you. You might not be able to love yourself, but no matter what you've done, God still loves you despite the things you say or do, and he still forgives you. You just have to approach him out of a genuine heart. So if you're struggling with anxiety or worry in your life, know that every fear is a misunderstanding of who God is and what he's promised you. Because if you know what God is really like and you know what he's promised you, there's no way you would be afraid. You have nothing to fear. Doubt opens the door to missing the Lord's blessings because doubt erodes your faith. And when we start doubting, we aren't living by faith anymore. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So in other words, who doesn't God bless? Those who don't believe and those who won't seek him out. Again, it comes back to making choices. We aren't perfect. We forget. We feel weak or too tired sometimes. I know you all believe in God, but the real takeaway here is to seek out the Lord. Inquire of him before you make those life-changing decisions. I'm going to wrap up now, but I want to encourage you all over the next few days to honestly just think about some of this and just ask yourselves, do you really believe God has a plan for you and wants only good things for your life? God's interested in you, and what matters to you matters to him. So always remember that God made a good plan for you, for your life, and what you do with that is up to you. Secondly, are you living your life in a way that pleases God? A way that he can bless. God has made many promises to each one of us, and he'll bless our efforts to break free from anything in our life that keeps us from him. Stay in his word. There's a Bible study starting next week, Wednesday. Get into it. Keep learning about God. There's so much to know. It will help you keep, it will help you understand him and understand what he expects of us, and it'll help you keep your faith strong. It'll keep building you up. Don't forget that there's a Bible study on Wednesday. Get into it. Do you, number three, do you fully trust God to do what he says he will do? Do you? Do you really? So much so that you don't worry about anything? We all have times when we struggle with our faith, and know that God understands that. I mean, we're his children. He wants us to trust him like a child. If you ask him to build your faith, he's going to help you with that, because that's his will too. But you have to take steps yourself, and you have to apply what you do know. He gave us the Bible to help us with that. This future, yours and mine, it's a heavenly future that is free from any anxieties, from any pain, from any illness and any disease. God has promised that to each and every one of you. And as Pastor Scott has said in previous messages, let's choose the right road, the narrow one that very few people seem to choose these days. Let's choose that road. It leads us to an amazing future with the Lord. So as we move through our day-to-day lives, let's just keep a steady eye on that future, using our time wisely to build up our knowledge and our faith by choosing the Lord's plan for our lives and not our own, and by doing our very best to live our lives according to his word. Let's pray. Lord, we forget so easily how truly capable and faithful you are to us. We don't know how many times that you've saved us from terrible events in our lives so far. We don't always understand what your plan is for us. But God, we do know you love us, and we do know your plan is always good, and we do know that you'll never leave us. Help us, Lord, to recognize when we go astray, and when we do, help us to wisely correct our steps. It's hard for us to live in such a sinful world, God, and easily we can get bogged down with worries and be led off that narrow path, the path that leads to you. And you know all of this, of course, and you already have plans in place not to lead us that way. Lord, you tell us to keep fighting the good fight, and we want to, but we need your guidance and your direction to stay strong and not tire out, Lord, because sometimes life is just really, really hard. And when we feel alone, bring to our minds that you are always there for us. Don't let us forget that. And forgive us, Lord, because our faith does teeter. You put before us the choice of life or death, blessing or curse. You gave us that choice so we can decide for ourselves. You want our love to be genuine toward you, and we want that too, Lord. You want us to choose you because you chose us. Lord God, we do choose you, and that's why we're here today. Help us to live our lives by your standards, Lord, and not our own. And thank you. Thank you for being our good and faithful Father, and thank you for the good plan that you set out for each one of us. Most of all, Jesus, thank you for our future that we have with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.